Morning. Before we go into any of the reading or talking, I would like to invite you to bow your heads in prayer with me. Lord, no one else knows what each of us needs that come into this church. This morning or any other time, Lord, you know all of that. And we pray that thou wouldst direct this talk, this time together, that we might minister thy pleasure, thy word to all that are here. May each of us think about what we just sang a moment ago, that there is one thing needful, and we need to regard it very highly. And it's not this earth, and it's not the problems it's caused, but know, Lord, that we are right with thee. Everything else becomes secondary or even further down the line. Teach us this, Lord, we pray. We pray it because we are allowed to pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Couple of things I want to say. One is, I struggled this week because when I was asked, I actually volunteered initially that I could take the turn today, and then I struggled with several topics, one of which was the seven sins that the church ignores. And God, I wrestled with this for 3 days and I'm not going to do this. It would be embarrassing for all of us. The book, apparently, that this came out of delineates exactly what those sins are. And beloved, I can tell you this, God's word is absolutely right when it says, all have sinned, come short of the glory of God, beginning with me. No one here can boast who they are, what they are, what they have done, what they're doing, what they know, what they have learned. No, no one can boast. God has invited us to come here, to give us an opportunity to make our relationship with Him right. Nothing else really matters. You see, if we are right with God, we're going to be right with each other. And it's important. Our Bible class lesson, I knew what the lesson was going to be about, and so I sort of struggled, because I'm going to sort of back up on top of that, because God gave me unmistakably the assignment to talk about forgiveness. It is imperative, it is absolutely necessary that all of us, if we plan to be in heaven, if we're not planning to be in heaven, then we have no business here. But since we're here, if we plan to be in heaven, we need to be forgiven by God. And God says He will not forgive us unless we forgive each other. We want to talk about that. See, love mandates that we forgive each other. And the lesson today, to me, and Brother Al, I really appreciate it, several weeks ago or a few Sundays ago when you talked about Joseph. I read the story, Genesis 37 through 50, probably 10 times the next week. Every time I thought about it, you see, Joseph in the Bible is one of the clearest pictures in the Bible about what Jesus is all about. Joseph, if I'm not mistaken, and I don't think I am, there's more written about Joseph than anyone else in the Bible except Jesus Christ. More words, more experiences. Joseph had them. So I have taken the liberty to talk about some of the things, and I don't mean to step on your toes, Brother Al, but I think that one of the things that I've caught in there is there's only one thing that Joseph, when everything happened to him, that he wanted to be reconciled to his family. He wanted his family to come back. And that required some things. So, I'm going to invite you to read with me or to open the Bible. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 45. I want to go then to Genesis chapter 50. Then we're going to go in Luke chapter 23. And there are a couple of other references that I'm thinking about, but I'm not going to go to Zechariah, for instance, talks about some beautiful pictures of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Joseph paralleled some of that. Chapter 45 in Genesis. I want to read 15 verses here. Then Joseph, bring you up to speed, if I can say it that way. Joseph went through his, and most of us here, I know most of you know the story of Joseph. All of us have probably had it in Sunday school. We've preached about it. I know I have preached about it over the years once in a while. When he was sold by his brothers, when he was thrown in a pit, and when they drew him out, they sold him as slavery, and he went to Egypt, and he was bought by a gentleman named Potiphar, and then his wife got him in trouble, and he was cast in prison. And in prison, due to circumstances, God arranged, because of a famine that was coming, Joseph was chosen to be the second in command in the land of Egypt. And as such, he was responsible for saving enough during the good years so that they would have food during the bad years. And this brought his brothers from Canaan, or from the homeland, from the father, to him in Egypt to buy food. And he recognized, Joseph recognized his brothers. He didn't reveal himself to who he was. But here we are coming into the section where he did reveal himself. And you can read the rest of it. In fact, I encourage you to read it. And if you want to set me straight, do that. It's okay with me. I know how to be set straight. I've been married for 59 years, so that may not be a good... I did this for a lighter moment, because it looked to me like someone was drifting off. Verse 1, chapter 45, we read here, Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, "Cause every man to go out from me." And there stood to no man with him, while Joseph made himself known to his brethren, and he wept aloud. And the Egyptians of the house of Pharaoh heard, and Joseph said to his brethren, "I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live?" And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled. Meaning they were terrified when they found out this was Joseph and what they had done to him. That's the story of this here. What they did to him. And the picture that I'm going to go back to more than once is what men have done to Jesus, to Jesus Christ. One day, the scriptures teach us, prophets said this, Prophet Zechariah said this. It said they will behold him whom they pierced. And you can imagine the men, and that goes for every one of us. We have all had a share in piercing Jesus Christ when he was on a cross. And here we have it. Here we have this. Whatever their thoughts may have been, but Joseph said to his brethren, I am Joseph. Does my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled, terrified in his presence. And Joseph said to his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath yet the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and a lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout the land of Egypt. Haste ye, and go up to my father, and say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not, and thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children, and thy children's children, and the flocks, and the herds, and all that thou hast. And there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. And behold, your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that it is my mouth that hath speaketh unto you. And ye shall tell my father of my glory in Egypt, and all that ye have seen, and ye shall haste and bring me down, my father, hither. And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them, and after that his brethren talked with him. So forth. Next, I want to read out of chapter 50. Kind of remember what these things are. We're going to come back to some of these thoughts, not all of them. I am not as organized as some of our brothers are who have, they do a good job by using this thing over here, but I'm not that good at that. I can just find fault. I'm good at that. Chapter 50. This is when Joseph's father came down, lived, I don't remember, was 15 years or whatever he lived, or 17 years after he had come to Egypt, and he is now dying. He died. And the brothers all of a sudden realized, Joseph is the one whom we were going to kill. But they stuck him in a pit. And one of the brothers was going to save him, was going to try to, but they drew him out, sold him into Egypt. And the scriptures say, when they will catch on in, I think it may be in 50 here, where it says, when the brothers all of a sudden realize that he can get even with us. He has all the power in Egypt that anyone ever needed. He can do damage. He can get even. And that's where our world is today. Get even. In fact, don't even get even. Get on top of them. Get ahead of them. If they make a mistake, take advantage of them. That's the motto of this. That's the motto of business. That's the motto of operation. If there's a... You drive down Market Street and leave two-thirds of a car space in front of you when there's lunchtime, and see if a truck won't be pulling in, or somebody with a vehicle that needs three times the space that you... That's exactly where we are. We live in this kind of thing. And beloved, I'm going to tell you something. I know all of your cars pretty well. Ask Arlene. You go up, go up 21. And if you see somebody on the right-hand side going 50 miles an hour in a 55-mile zone, that's me. Try not to go around me, okay? And if you do, don't do it in such a way and cut me off. You know, I'm just being a little bit facetious now. Don't show off. This is what the world does. Joseph was here, and they realize that their father is dead now. Now is Joseph's chance to get even with us. Because dad was the one that was, as long as he was here, Joseph wouldn't do it, right? But they didn't realize Joseph was more than just a brother. He was a picture of what Jesus was going to be. Somewhere along the line, Joseph recognized that it was God who was doing it was God who brought him to Egypt. It was God who arranged it, because the family needed desperately to be saved. There was nobody was going to take care of them. Joseph had to do it, and so God had to bring Joseph down by his own way. Didn't realize, and I didn't realize either till I read what had happened, and I go to the New Testament, and I read in the Gospels, and I read where Joseph, you know, where the Bible says, in fact, it says it in the Old Testament, that you meant it for evil, what you did to me. But God meant it for good. See, God does things differently than men do. Men will cheat. In fact, we'll talk about that a little bit. Men will do all kinds of things for their own selfish gain, because man is that way. But God is not afraid to take the short end, because He ministers to those that need. And that's what this is all about. In chapter 50, let me read this a little bit here. Joseph fell upon father's face and wept upon him. That's when his father died. Verse 2, and Joseph commanded his servants, the physicians, to embalm his father, and the physicians embalmed Israel. And 40 days were fulfilled for him, for so are fulfilled the days of those that are embalmed, and the Egyptians mourned for him 70 days. And when the days of his mourning were past, Joseph spake to the house of Pharaoh, saying, unto the house of Pharaoh, If I now have found grace in your eyes, speak, I pray thee, into the ears of Pharaoh, saying, my father made me swear, saying, lo, I die in my grave, which I have digged for me in the land of Canaan, there shalt thou bury me. Now therefore let me go up, I pray thee, and bury my father, and I will come again. And Pharaoh said, go up and bury your father, according as he had made thee swear. And Joseph went up to bury his father and his servants and the elders of his house and all the elders of the land of Egypt and all the house of Joseph and his brethren and his father's house and the little ones. But the little ones and the flocks and their herds they left in the land of Goshen. And there went up with him both chariots and horsemen and a very great company. And they came to the thrashing floor of Etad, which is beyond Jordan. There they mourned with a great and very solemn lamentation, and he made mourning for his father 7 days. When the inhabitants of the land of the Canaanites saw the mourning of the floor in the floor of Etad, they said, this is a grievous mourning to the Egyptians. Wherefore, the name of it was called Abel Mizraim, which is beyond Jordan. And his sons did unto him according as he commanded. For his sons carried him in the land of Canaan and buried him in a cave, the field of Machpelah, which Abraham bought from the field of possessions from the burying place of Ephron the Hittite before Mamre. And Joseph returned unto Egypt and his brethren, and all went with him to bury their father after he had buried his father. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us for all the evil which we have done unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, Thy father did command before he died, saying, So shall ye say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when he spake to him. So this is the first time in the scriptures that it talks about forgiving, forgiveness. And it says, forgive. And I am at verse 19. And Joseph said to them, Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good. Bring to pass as it is this day, and save much people alive. Now therefore, fear ye not, I will nourish you and the little ones, and comfort it. And he comforted them, and spake kindly unto them. I want you to catch the word kindly. When I read this, Brother Al, you didn't get this far, but I read this, and when I said when I read this, and he comforted them, and he spake kindly unto them. That means there is a heart language. That means he was not talking to their minds; he was talking to their heart. You see, this is one of the beautiful things about our Lord Jesus Christ. He always spoke kindly to the one that needed help, to the one that was hurting, to the one that required his forgiveness. Today, this is still the case. I was baptized at the age of 21. I had much reason to weep. I wept before God. I wept alone. I wept because God spoke kindly to me in His Word. No one ever said, you know, who knows my favorite song? Raise your hand if you do. If the rest of you don't know, I'll tell you. Jesus loves me. This is my song that was written. I didn't write it. But when I learned it, I said, this is my song. God wrote that. Because Jesus loves me, this I know. For my Bible tells me so. I don't care what anyone else says. My Bible says that Jesus loves me. And that's why. And this is what this is all about. God loves you. There is one thing that Joseph wanted to do, and in our discussion here on our reading, remember where it said, Joseph said to his brothers, come near to me. You see what happens, the tendency for most of us is when we are offended by somebody or when something happens that we don't like. I may be in trouble here. No, I'm not. Here it is. Sorry. Jesus loves you. In our Bible class this morning, several things happened. I appreciated the lesson. And I agree with the brother that taught it that we could use two more sessions on the same thing and not exhaust it, because there is no end to the love of God. When anyone repents or when anyone wants to, and this lesson here, all this lesson is attempting to teach us. Joseph is attempting to teach his brothers that he's kind to them. He speaks kindly. Why? They knew they did wrong. They knew what they did. Nobody knew better than they what they had done to their brother. They knew they hurt him. They knew more than Joseph did almost. And they regretted the fact, and if you read in Zechariah, the prophet, or I think that's where it is, where it says, when they were alone, the brothers among themselves, they're talking, and they said, remember when he was in the pit and he was pleading, and we didn't respond. Joseph's brothers were cruel men. Joseph's brothers had trouble with what they did. They had trouble with what they said. Their trouble was never ending. Someone said recently in my hearing, and I'm not sure where that was, there are two marks of Christians. Two marks. One of them is giving. Generosity. If you're not generous, if I am not generous, I might not know the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he was generous. On our Bible class lesson this morning said, taught us, as he is, so are we to be in the world. We are to mimic Jesus Christ. One thing he is, he was giving. Joseph did this. And Joseph wanted to teach his brothers. And it says several times, if you look through there, it says, and they came near, or he came near to them. And what did he do? He wept. He embraced them. Don't you think, or I think, Joseph wept a lot. And finally his brothers did too. Finally! Finally they learned how to respond when someone loves. See, forgiveness is the second thing that we're known as Christians, according to what I said. There were two words I said, right? One is giving, the other one is forgiving. You see, Arlene and I are going to be married 59 years on April the 12th. Should we live that long? And the reason I know our marriage worked, because forgiveness was something we learned to do, I think the first day we were married. Maybe not the first day, maybe I learned that even before. But a marriage cannot work without forgiveness. Daily forgiveness. Whether it's open or unsaid. And you know how forgiveness works? How God can be free, because he forgives us before it ever happens, because he loves us. I don't have to earn forgiveness. I never had to earn it with Arlene. In fact, it didn't. I'd come home from work, and she can verify, and some of our offspring can verify, their dad was a major grouch. But as far as she would know, no. So, honey, we're going to celebrate. And because God gave us love for each other, and love forgives. Love does forgive. And God has forgiven all of us in Christ. That's where it is. And so, beloved, if I'm here or wherever, if I do not elevate the name of Jesus Christ, come and tell me. However, if I start talking about myself, tell me also. This spot is chosen for us to elevate Jesus Christ, to preach him, to preach his grace, his forgiveness, his love, which covers all of us. That's what it is. And Joseph illustrates this. I want to go now to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 23. That's what I meant. I'm sorry. Thank you for correcting me. Luke. 23, right. In fact, I was looking over here at Luke and I said Mark, sorry. Please forgive me. Now this is a little bit different. I'm making a little bit light of this, but it's not really. We have here the picture of Jesus before Pilate. I don't want to talk about that too much. I want to go towards the part of the chapter where Jesus, in verse 27 rather, where he is crucified. This is not the only place, the other Gospels also do it, but listen to here. And there followed him a great company of people, of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in the which when they shall say, Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bear, and the paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountain, Fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in the green tree, what shall be done in the dry? There were also two other malefactors which were with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and their rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others. Let him save himself, if he be the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the king of the Jews, and so forth. All of these things, most of you know. I haven't read anything that hasn't been read before or talked about or even preached about. So, my thought is this, I just want to lay it on your heart, each of us here. If God has not forgiven me, I cannot forgive others. I learned from God how to forgive. Item number two, the way I forgive, God forgives me, according to what he said. And it's very likely that if you have never experienced God, you will never experience forgiving other people, which will also mean you may be looking at him whom they pierced. And that's what Zechariah says in chapter 12. They will look on him whom they pierced. We read the same thing in, I think it's in John 19, where John talks about the prophecy regarding Jesus' piercing, that they will look on him whom they pierced, and they will sorrow as someone sorrows for their firstborn, lamenting for him, and they cannot be satisfied. It can't be ignored. In other words, the point is, judgment is coming. And there will be a judgment of every one of us, what's going to happen to us. There are some in here who are not ready for that judgment. You see, the whole purpose of Genesis, of the account of Joseph, the account of Jesus is, and Joseph, in Joseph's area, we're clear. He more than once says, come to me. I was going to highlight it when we read it, but I didn't do it. But you can do it. You can go back and look. The point of the whole thing is to teach all of us to come to the Lord. Come to him. Jesus said it this way, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest. You see, it's not until we come to Jesus Christ. That's the purpose of the whole idea of forgiveness. Come together. Marriages that are falling or drifting apart, forgive each other. Come together. It'll work with God's help. Whether it's a relationship at home, whether it's a relationship at work, wherever it is, come together. Talk. Have a relationship. God is interested in talking to us. Tell me your problems. That's what he's really saying when Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor. Don't worry about some of the things that this world has come. You see, this world, all the world is doing, and at the cross we have a beautiful situation how the world looks at this. You know who was at the cross? Let me go back and read. This time I have it right. Luke. In verse 35 in chapter 23, it says, and the people stood beholding. And at verse 34, when Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do, they parted his raiment and cast lots. You know what that kind of, it almost is like cold-hearted, calloused, indifferent. They're looking, they're casting lots. They're seeing what they can get out of this. You know, this is the mentality of today. Get me something for nothing. The millennials are being described that way, but that's nothing new. That was at the cross. They were sitting down there like hawks, waiting for what they can get, which part of his clothing. And they gambled for the stuff that they couldn't, hoping that they would get it. And it says here, to me this is, and the people stood beholding. And when it says people stood beholding, you know what that's like the nosy. See what's going to happen next. Hopefully they get some, maybe even the news media. I don't really know who this all is. But, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying he saved others. Let him save himself. If he be the Christ, the chosen of God. Soldiers mocked him. That was a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? Every one of those men, including the women that were there, in fact, the women are spoken of more complimentary than, and I like that part. I've always had like that. There's a reason why the first person that saw Jesus Christ after he arose was a woman. Because the Jews looked down on the women too. There's nobody right but them. They were the only ones. And they had the right to condemn even the Son of God. They were not worthy to be on the same planet at the same time that Jesus was on his planet. And they had the audacity to go and do what they did to him. One day, everyone, including us, will look on him whom they pierced. Because the judgment will be how mankind, everyone treated Jesus Christ. That's what happened with Joseph. However they treated Joseph, anybody in Egypt, Joseph had the rule, and if they treated him right, it was done right. Including the prophecy that his father prophesied, Joseph's father prophesied about Joseph. Beloved, what's the lesson? In 1 minute it's going to be 12 o'clock. Forgive one another. The trespasses. Brothers, More than once it has been said here, this is a church that loves. And it's true. We do. Let's truly love each other by forgiving each other. And the reason, I don't know what the reason is, God gave me this task, but I could use 3 more Sundays to fill in some of the things that I just skimmed over. I have a whole list of things I didn't even read. Why? The mark that God loves us is the fact that He has paid the price so that He does not have to condemn us, but that Christ would be the one in whom we would be saved. And how we treat Jesus Christ, this is how God's going to treat us. Among ourselves and wherever we go. You see, people will know us by what? What's the songwriter say? By our love for each other. May God bless the word. Someone find a song, and then someone volunteer to have a concluding prayer.